Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. Happy holidays, everyone. I know Christmas is just 2 days away, or Christmas Eve is just 2 days away, and all of you are probably getting ready, and Hanukkah, and all the holidays between now and New Year's. There's like so many of them, so happy holidays, everyone. And on today's episode, it is so much fun. I have the pleasure bringing on Nicole from Fit and Fab. And Nicole comes from Israel, which is a special place in my heart. And so I'm so excited to interview Nicole today. She's going to share how she literally does it all with twins and how she has created four different passive streams of income. And it's just really incredible how she's done it all. She's so inspiring. So I'm really excited for you to hear from her. But before we dive in, just as a reminder, with holidays coming up, I know I say this all the time, but if you go to investormama.com/make money, there's some courses and resources for you on how you can make some extra income on the side or even pivot into a new career. Whether you're looking to maybe start an Etsy business or you want to help other businesses with Facebook ads, there's also a course on how to launch a podcast like this one and tons of other stuff. And everything I recommend is something that I've personally is a program I personally have gone through, or I know people who have gone through and have been successful and made money out of the gates. So I can highly, highly recommend everything on that site. And it's a win-win because anything you do purchase ends up help supporting the show. So just heads up there, but let's dive in. So without further ado, Nicole, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you for having me. And finally, we've made the time to connect because it took us a little while with our busy schedules. So yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm excited.
No problem. Yeah, Nicole and I have been trying to schedule this interview for like multiple months. Yeah. It's just life has been so crazy, as with anything you do as a mom. So Nicole, yeah, no, thank you for coming. I'm really excited to talk with you. Why don't we jump in with what is your money story?
Yeah, so basically, it's been a really interesting journey. I won't go too far back, right, in time, but just say the last 5 years or so. About 5 years ago, I was really kind of struggling. It was when just before I was pregnant or getting pregnant with the twins, I was going through IVF and infertility. Then I got pregnant and I was running like a small digital marketing agency, and I lost some of my clients. My income stream kind of disappeared. And then I got pregnant with the twins. When that happened, one of my clients took their work in-house. Then my husband, kind of, who's a carpenter, some things happened there with his work. So we were basically running on very little income. And we had, I think Shai was like four years old or something back then. So yeah, we were struggling for a little while. I was doing network marketing, which was bringing in a nice side income, which is really, really great. I was running a health and wellness network marketing company or business, which was awesome. And I think it gets a bit of a bad rap, network marketing, but it was a really great extra income stream for me. For anyone that is kind of like scared of it, it's actually helped me through that period a lot with that extra little bit. It's not something I do so much anymore. And then when I was pregnant with the boys, I actually found a job when I was pregnant with my twins, and I'm really surprised they employed me. I told them, I'm like, I'm just letting you know I'm pregnant with twins, and they gave me the job, and I realized they gave it to me because it was such bad pay, but I was really desperate. I remember they told me the pay, and I was like, oh, okay, is that like calculated per week? But I took it because, you know, I was basically desperate. And then when the twins were born, I took my time off, and some really, really amazing things happened. I started to realize that I really needed to learn more about money and putting out a different energy into kind of the universe. And what I did was, and this being it was the biggest turning point for me, was I started to read books by women sharing about how to attract money. You know, I'm a Badass at Making Money, Jen Sincero, I think her name is. There's another, all these different manifesting books and books on money and books on how to handle finance. And my entire mindset around money really shifted. And I started doing some of the things that they started talking about of, you know, they have all these different ways of kind of like writing down how much money you're spending, how much you're earning, how you talk to yourself, talk about money and all that kind of stuff. And I think from there, just subconsciously, things started to shift in my mind of the way I saw money. Even little things. I remember it being like, if you just leave money on the floor, like sometimes you see like a coin, which is like, you know, nothing, I don't know, 10 cents or something, or 1 cent. I used to kind of just like, oh, whatever, leave it. And there was all these different kind of tips where if you just see it as nothing and that it doesn't matter, then it's not really going to come to you. It's really interesting. Yes. Now when I see even like, say it's here, it's a shekel, but when I see money, instead of just being like, oh, whatever, I'll like pick that up and really have respect for the money, even if it's a little small amount. You know what I mean?
And 100%. Really, I do that too. I actually, last night I was getting out of the car and I forgot my wallet was open and all the coins fell in the parking lot. And I literally picked up every penny and nickel that I had. It was a subconscious thing. I was like, why am I wasting my time picking this up? But I did it.
Yeah. So it's all this like different things and having like just looking at money in a different way. So that really helped me. And I've always had actually small little income streams, which as they've built over time have helped me a lot. Like I have an online fitness program for women, which is kind of like an evergreen program. And that's like an income stream. Then it's actually came through when I did a Tony Robbins seminar. I was in the VIP section and I'll never forget. He said, like, you should always have like pillars of income streams, you know, because if you only have one and it kind of gets taken away, which is what happened to me kind of with the digital marketing agency, mm-hmm. then you're screwed. Yeah. So over the past 5 years, I've created a lot of different income streams. So I have my online fitness program, which is basically evergreen and organic sales that come through. Then I actually work part-time for a company that I really am aligned with and I love. I also sell my services on Fiverr as a pro seller, doing hosting podcasts and webinars for people. And yeah, and that came about because I was hosting summits, which I'll talk about in a minute. And I loved hosting. I love being with people. And I said, like, you know, imagine people who need someone like me who enjoys interviewing people but don't have the confidence, or they just need someone to do it on a business kind of thing. And I didn't have the time, okay? And this was really interesting for me. I didn't have the time to do it. So I said, I'm just going to put up a price that I feel comfortable with, but it's pretty good pricing. Like, I'm not going to feel bad spending 15 minutes or half an hour for like $400. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
People started ordering it. I was like, you know, now I actually have regular slots on shows that I'm doing their hosting. I was doing webinars. At one stage, I was even getting like $150 a day just to host a 20-minute kind of webinar. Right. So it kind of is like about having the confidence to put a nice price that you know that you deserve on something, even if you think it's kind of maybe someone isn't going to buy it or isn't going to do it, right? And just putting yourself out there and having the confidence, because then that created a really nice income stream for me. I also did coaching for women, and now I have a group coaching program coming up, so that's another income stream where I get to serve and really like something that I'm really passionate about. And for now, as far as I remember, there's probably more income streams somewhere. But from what I can think of right now, I'm pretty sure that's it. So that's about 4 or 5. Yeah. And I'm always looking at more, by the way. I think it comes for if anyone's entrepreneurial listening, I'm always looking at new opportunities, but not always going through to the end with them, because we can get shiny ball syndrome. So I will learn about it and stuff and see if it's something I'm really aligned to, if I can fit it into my business, if I have the time for it, if I have the skills for it, if it's something long term, and if it doesn't take away from what I'm already building. Because for me, my number one challenge is I want to do everything all together. And I have my 3 kids, I have twin boys, I have my husband, I love to travel. So it's also about having a bit of balance. I love fitness. But honestly, for anyone listening, you really can have it all and you can do a lot, and people waste so much time in their day. And that is probably the number one reason maybe people aren't reaching their income goals, is because of the priority of time compared to like purpose, you know, things like that. So Yeah, I know that was quite long-winded, but yeah, they're basically my income streams. And now I'm just, you know, I was 10x my income from like 5 years ago, you know, and I've been able to travel and just, you know, give my kids their sports that they wanted, which I couldn't do, which was really sad. And I was really like, oh my God, I can't even like go to the supermarket. It was stressful. It was really like difficult. And now it just feels great that I don't have to worry as much, right?
So, wow, you said so much that I want to unpack. So, okay, let's start first. First of all, I loved your framework for adding new businesses. But before we even talk about that, you were doing so much and you can tell by your mindset. Why don't we start there? How did you get that mindset to always look for opportunities to create income?
You know what? It's really hard to say. I think that it's from long-term self-development and surrounding myself in communities where people have a positive money mindset and business focus. That's been a huge thing, actually. Surround your circle of influence. So by surrounding yourself in people who are more successful than you, that are creating things, you're like, wow, it's inspiring. So if you're in a room of people doing that, the natural is that you want to do it too, right? So I think having that from like more than 10 years ago, I was doing affiliate marketing like more than 10 years ago. And we did all this stuff like with The Secret and everything. So my self-development started really early of being around things that people talk a lot about now, but they didn't before, like Your Perfect Day, you know, manifestation stuff that in only the last few years, I think it's really become super popular. But like 10 or 12 years ago, I was already kind of surrounding myself with those people. Mm-hmm. Even though I went through a down, right, with my income still, but I had it in my mind, like I was aware of it. So yeah, that would be one thing. And also reading a lot of books. I'm a really, really, I listen to books every day and even read and listen to books. I usually have two books going at the same time, business books, books on neuroscience, books on money, books on business, books on, you know, anything that is to do with business, basically, and the mind and habits and things like that.
Well, I'd love to, okay, continue going backwards. How did you make time though to do, or even now you have four income streams, like you said, you have three mm-hmm. kids. How do yeah. you make the time to do it all? And you said a lot of people waste their time. What, mm-hmm. I guess, how do you make the time and what are some things you see people waste their time with that they can change?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a pro with this. I have to say, this is one thing I'm really happy with myself, especially like, for example, like the biggest test I went through was during Corona when I was actually working. I was still running my network marketing business. I was homeschooling and the twins were really young and everyone was home. Basically, my husband was working. So I really had to stretch my time to the absolute max, right? So first of all, I don't waste time. I get up very early every day, usually about 5 a.m. And I have like a morning routine where I look after my mindset first. So I do self-care if it's just a 5-minute meditation or 10-minute meditation. I do like some affirmations and a little bit of goal setting. And I'll be honest, it's not every single day. Some days I do miss it, right? But I will still get up early, just depending on my schedule. But the my main goal every day is to get up, do some meditation, and to exercise like most days, say like 4 or 5 days a week, right? So my morning routine means that I've already spent like an hour and a half before everyone wakes up. And I've finished a lot of the tasks that I want to do in the day, which is to do with self-care, right? So that gives me so much space in the day to work on my business and then take time for the kids. Being healthy and fit is probably my second biggest thing for productivity, even though it might sound weird, because when I am like after I've done a workout, I'm super focused, super motivated, I'm going like 100 miles an hour, I get a lot more work done, I don't feel lazy, and I'm just like, everything is on fast forward for me. I'm super excited and happy and motivated to do work, because sometimes you might even have the time, but you might not be motivated.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So having a fitness routine is really, really important. The second thing is social media and like things that are really eating your time that you may not know about, watching TV, movies, Netflix, like all that kind of stuff. It's a really big no-no for me. For me, watching a movie or TV is a huge kind of like, it's like an event. Mm. I know this sounds ridiculous. But like there's always like chats in like WhatsApp groups and Facebook groups about all different Netflix series. I don't touch Netflix series, you know, just because I don't have the time. And if I know if I get into one, I'm get addicted and then I just don't become productive. But that's my, I'm not saying like it's bad that people do it. It's just in terms of how I have to run and be productive and my priorities, it doesn't interest me. So you're watching, so TV time and screen time, let's say, is something definitely to watch.
Which I'd love to you to talk about that a little bit, because especially as like content creators, because you have to be on social media somewhat to at least produce. Yeah. How do you then just cut it off that you're not consuming?
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. There's consuming and using it for producing, right? So I am just really conscious. Like, for example, when I'm doing my reels, I will have like a time that I'm just doing some, I call it like research. So I will go through and I'll like be looking for my songs and everything. And then sometimes we can get into the rabbit hole, right? You see something interesting. I just snap myself out. I say, oh my God, what am I doing? Am I still focused? No, get back to what you're doing, Nicole. And then I just really bring myself back in and then I go to something else. And what can really help is that if you have like a time slot for doing your content creation, you give yourself like half an hour. So you're on a time limit. Then that you can't really go past that and you have a goal set. Like I need to create like 3 videos. So, you know, I don't have time to be not focused. Yeah. And just to avoid, turn off notifications. I turned off like my Instagram notifications and Facebook notifications. I try to delete as many notifications as I can. And something new that I've just done, which is amazing, on my phone, I have set focus time. So, I don't know on Android, but on iPhone, you can actually set focus time, which means I only put the kindergarten phone numbers in there in case there's an emergency at the kindergarten. But other than that, I set an hour in the morning where no one can contact me, even my husband. I was like, my husband, I'm like, you know, I'm sure he'll be fine. And then no notifications come, stuff like that. I also don't open anything in my phone in the morning during that first hour. You know, when you have your phone in the morning and it's like you do see notifications, emails, I do not touch any of it. I just don't before kind of I've started my day. Yeah. So if anyone is struggling with the Instagram, you just have to be much more conscious when you are on social media. You know, even maybe have like post-it notes, stop looking at social media, stop scrolling, like have small little things around you. Like I was talking to you before we press record, I don't even watch the news. Like I'm really, really, really conscious of my time. And that's why I seem to have a lot of time, but I don't. Even with my friends talking on the phone, I have one friend that I allow to talk to on the phone in the morning. And I was even talking to her today. I'm like, you're the only person I speak to because I don't have time for anyone else. And I, you know, we give each other motivation, but I don't answer my phone to friends in the day. They, you know, they know that. So I think like I don't speak to people and waste time in conversations. I might send a quick message, but then I will spend quality time. I'll meet them. I will set up 2 nights a week or something that I have like fun time with my friends. And usually maximum 2 nights, even probably 1 night of like fun time with my friends. And that's always scheduled like the week before, you know, and then the rest, I know that I'm going to be building my business or be doing recording podcasts or something like that.
I love it. This is amazing. Thank you so much. Let's keep going. So now let's say, okay, so you answered how you had the mindset, you answered how you are able to find the time, especially with a family. Now let's talk about, so how do you actually do these businesses? Like for a mom out there, you talked about so many amazing different income streams. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of go through each one and just like the first couple of steps almost that like someone can take so that they could at least start to be successful and start to see some income that will motivate them to continue, or maybe just so that they could kind of pick and choose one just to create, especially now. Yeah. Look, we all know the economy, something's going to happen. Everyone's looking for income streams. So yeah, I'd love for you to share.
The one thing that I'll say, which might not be the most popular answer, especially for entrepreneurs, is that like it was very hard for me to have the reality that I would have to go get an actual job. I didn't want to get a job. I was like, no, like I've failed. I'm an entrepreneur. I should be having just my businesses working at X. But then this role came up like part-time and I had no other income and I took it. And my mind shifted to seeing what can I get out of this job that aligns to me that can be put into my businesses, right? So my tip here is basically that having a base income, if you can, is so, it takes so much stress off an entrepreneur that you could to build your other income streams. So mm-hmm. you have this income, then wow, you can actually pay someone maybe to help you with some digital marketing. You can outsource some stuff because you have this base income. You can, you know, not feel like, you know, you have to go to your husband and be like, oh, my business isn't creating money, like I'm struggling. You have your set income every single month, even if it's part-time, that just gives you this basis to be able to create other income streams and while they're building. And I will not leave my job until I have hit, you know, a big income stream that I'm kind of like aiming for. And it's been consistent for like a year or two.
That makes 100%. Yeah, no, but that makes 100%. Because even like you said, it's just even a mindset of like a safety net. So like if you make zero every month, you're still like, oh my goodness, but I have family, I have all this. You still have your base income. You may not be saving and, you know, doing all the other things, but you've put yourself in a financial position now where at least you can take these risks. It's like calculated risks, you know?
Yeah. And I'm loving, I know it's crazy, but I'm actually loving the work that I'm doing and I'm meeting a lot of people and it's actually helping me with my businesses, which is crazy. So yeah, so that is the one thing. The other thing is really to, I think that you have to be aligned and passionate about what you're doing. So my other income streams are all aligned with passions, either health, like coaching, things like that. And to really just learn, it's taken me a lot of time and effort to build things, to keep going, to have the self-confidence. Sometimes shit just fails. I don't really see it as a failure though. I welcome failure in a way because then I'm like, okay, I'm learning. I don't give up, but then I also know when to drop something.
Yeah, can you actually dive into that a little bit? How do you know when to pivot?
For me, it's a little bit more intuitive. It comes from like intuition because I'm someone who doesn't quit, but that was actually hard for me, especially with the network marketing, actually, because I didn't want to quit on it and I had built something over such a long period. But when I stood back, I realized it's not aligning with where I want to be and what I want to do in the next 10 years. So that's when I stepped away, but I pushed it to the end. I really exhausted myself to the point where I knew that it wasn't for me. You know, so sometimes you just have to sit back and like listen to your inner self a little bit. Yeah. And a huge one is having belief and self-confidence. And that's why I started coaching this now, because I used to coach women on more how to juggle everything. And I still do, how to juggle motherhood and working a lot. But then I realized that even before that, what is the main struggle, which I see with so many people, is the self-confidence and self-belief to actually even get to the point of building their businesses, like to be like saying, hey, I'm worthy, I can do this, I'm amazing, to give motivation, to, you know, get up early, to do things, to exercise, to feel good. And without that, it's really difficult to build businesses and stay motivated because you're not in a good state of mind. You have a low frequency. And because building these businesses are not easy, at least not for me, not always easy, right? You know, you go through ups and downs. You need to have that motivation to keep you going or the discipline, right?
Yeah, 100%. So you talked about summits. Like, first of all, like, what is a summit? How did you do it? And like, it seems like a lot of the things that you also selected to go down the business rabbit hole have not been so time consuming comparatively. Maybe I'm misreading that, but I would love for you to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the summits are really interesting. I actually have one coming up in 29th of January. And for me, that's our big lead generation. And how did I learned it. I hired a coach and I learned about how to do it. It seemed smart to me. I come from a marketing background and that's how it's like one of my funnels. And you know, for people who, you know, anyone can reach out to me and ask me more details actually about it, if that's something that you want to do. But it's a really great lead generation for me of building a community of people based on the focus of my summit. So my next summit is all about self-care and confidence. And guess what? I have a coaching program launching in February. So it's leading into that.
So can you talk about, just for someone who may not know, what is a funnel or a lead generation? Oh, and yeah, like, so are you making money off the summit or is it purely to funnel into this coaching program?
Yeah. So lead generation is just a way that you bring people to yourself. And a funnel is just a way where you kind of build a relationship, usually through, it can be even a like a funnel into social media when people get follows, into an email. When you sign up for an email, someone will have like a welcome email and then like different automation. That's like an email funnel. So a funnel is really just, think about it literally as a funnel and something going into your network, whether it's social media or email marketing, a webinar, things like that. So it's a really important strategy for anyone who wants to build anything to have some funnels set up where you're nurturing and building a relationship. And something that I really, really believe in is email funnels are much better or safer or should be done as well as social media. So Everyone really, you know, because we don't own social media, we don't own Instagram. A lot of crazy stuff is happening. If you've just built your business on social media without having any of your own kind of, let's call it, you're risking your entire business on someone else's platform. So I really recommend if someone has a business and they're listening, you should just jump on MailChimp or MailerLite, create a, an email marketing, join an email marketing platform and invite people to be on your newsletter and start sharing things. Like I share like a weekly update and that allows me to say, hey, I have a coaching program coming up and things like that.
I love it. I love it. So the summit, are you getting income from more or it's just purely funnel?
Yeah, so I am. So basically the speakers don't pay to be on the summit. Okay. So they don't pay me. I don't earn income like on the front end so much. I do charge for VIP upgrades. So when people upgrade, I earn from that. And then I earn from the conversions for when people sign up to the summit and they come onto my list. And, you know, if you're doing ads, like for example, Facebook, a lead, a conversion can be like, you know, up to $20. So you could say that every lead coming in is worth about $20. So I'm not always getting the money straight up, but I'm building, you know, leads for, I guess, for free. And then if they want to join my coaching program, they're on my list and I nurture them. And if they relate to me, then amazing. If not, you know, maybe later on, I will have something else that I can offer to them that might relate and just build that relationship. Someone could be on my list for a year or two, and then suddenly they do want coaching and they're on my list then, and they've been, you know, seeing what I'm doing and everything. So it's definitely for income producing activity, but not always like straight away, right? On the day of the summit, I'm not like, you know, earning like from people that it's a free summit.
So when you do these summits, though, how are you finding people to actually speak? So you're essentially organizing a virtual network to talk to people. So how are you finding speakers to talk? And then how are you also getting listeners into the summit?
Yeah, so it's a whole strategy, but basically, in short, I reach out to specific people. I make sure they have an email list, right? They then share the summit details to their list. I have like 5 to 10 speakers. Everyone shares to their own list. They come onto my landing page and then I build my list through the combined speakers promoting to their lists.
I love it because I love that you're essentially being the network center of networking multiple people to then funnel in to your coaching program, which I'm assuming your coaching program is your high ticket item.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, which is amazing. So you have your summits, you have your coaching program. What were the other two income streams again that you had?
Yeah, so from the summits and hosting, I was like, oh my God. And I host, by the way, I interviewed like the ex-president of Starbucks. I interviewed so many cool people and I get to meet amazing people. But yeah, so from hosting that, I was like, I love hosting. So that's when I went on to Fiverr and I created a gig and became then I created a gig, sorry, for hosting. So that is another income stream now for me, right?
What do you mean by hosting? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So just say you want to create a podcast, but you need a host, maybe like offshore or something in a country that maybe, you know, you want your target audience is English speakers and your English isn't so good. You need someone, you know, bubbly who wants to interview people. So you hire me and I will interview people, or I even interview people. So just say you want to be interviewed. And you want to record that, right?
Yeah.
For influence. So they will give me questions and I will interview you. And then they can share that on their social media as if they've been interviewed.
That's so genius.
yeah. It's crazy. Webinars. People have businesses. They want webinars. You know, as I said, I was, you know, charging like $150 for like 20-minute reading a script.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so fun. Yeah.
And then what was your fourth one? You said you had one more.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, so my fitness program. So I created an online fitness program for women before pregnancy. And it was really interesting because when I created that, I started going through infertility. So my shift changed a little bit. And basically the program's amazing. It's really like a low impact fitness program for women to strengthen their body before pregnancy, right? So that you can have a healthy pregnancy. Like the twins, you know, they came naturally and everything. I was really fit. So I was very focused on being able to share with women that, you know, to think about preventative health before you get pregnant, to do some body strengthening exercises. There's recipes on there as well, like really healthy recipes to nurture, you know, all your organs and to have a healthy pregnancy. Yeah, so I have that, and that's just like organic sales that come through.
Yeah, because that's you said evergreen. Can you just explain what evergreen programming is?
Yeah, so it means that I don't really touch anything now. The program is there. It sits on my website and it's set up. Like I literally don't touch it, and people find it through SEO. Or when I was more focused on it, I was in Shape magazine and Bustle magazine, all these online publications where, you know, people get to my website. So I did my own PR actually. And for anyone who wants to do their own PR, Haro.com. I think it's called Hire a Reporter. What they do is you register, and then different kind of publishers or writers will actually, I guess, enter into their system and say, hey, I need to have a fitness trainer talk about the pelvic floor, or I need a real estate agent, or it can be crazy stuff. I need a pet shop owner to talk about their favorite, you know, so you can actually go through the list. And then if you see something that's relevant to your niche, you can email the reporter and say, and basically pitch. So you give them the article they want. And if they choose it, they publish it. It's really cool. Free PR.
That's amazing. So one of the things, I'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes, but one of the things I often hear people say is like, you know, stay focused, drive in, go one thing. How have you done four separate things and four separate things well? Yeah. When do you kind of go to grab the next one?
Yeah, like I don't know if I really recommend doing too many, but these were built over a very long period of time. So it's not like just been, you know, my pre-pregnancy program was, you know, like 6 or 7 years ago, you know, so try to build one at a time. Don't just, it's just impossible. Like I even struggle still sometimes, and I sometimes still have golden bowl kind of syndrome. Like I get amazing business ideas. I'm a generator. So I have a lot of ideas, and if they're done well, they will probably all generate income. But you know, we're only one person, and sometimes you have to like pull back and say, is it aligned with me? You know, how much do I need to invest in this time and money? Is it taking too much focus off my other businesses? Does it fit with my lifestyle? I've started to do that a lot lately, actually. In the past year, I've kind of stopped myself from different opportunities because I know it's not the right time, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You're setting, I mean, you seem like a person just from talking to you now who sets very clear boundaries, which is so inspiring for people because you can hear it in your voice and hear how you've done it just with how you live your life on a daily basis. And now with businesses, it's awesome. So you've like kind of hit the secret nugget that so many moms struggle with is how to do it all. One of the things that I did want to kind of follow up on is when you built these businesses, did you build a following first and then promote these separate businesses in a way? Or did you kind of have the businesses up and then start the PR side of things? Or was it kind of like intertwined?
Yeah, like at the beginning, I didn't even know what I was doing. So at the beginning, I just say for my fitness program, I just created my Instagram and was playing around with it and my social media. But I don't love social media. I do. I'm just going to be honest here. I don't love social media.
Yeah,
I'm
there. Same
here. I'm just there for a business, right? And I know that it means I can reach more people. But right now, I'm kind of in the period where I'm trying to work out how I can do either more paid or less social media. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I just don't love it. So I'm actually just speaking to someone about TikTok ads and you know, investing in some of that for lead generation so that I don't have to do as much organic. But at the end of the day, it is kind of necessary in some way to have social media, but I do not believe that you have to have that to succeed. I really don't. I just fell into it a lot, especially with the network marketing, which was very, very social media based. So I was pushed into that world. Like I was on social media all day, you know,
yeah, and that's probably a lot.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the reasons I stepped out of it. It was just too much for me. So, sorry, what was your question?
No, do you, because like I know even for myself, my whole thing was like, all right, I don't even know what I want to sell yet. I think I should build a huge following first and then I can decide what products or what programs or all this versus have a program or product and then go out and get an audience.
I'm probably not traditional. I love to just go for stuff first and build as I'm going. I'm not as worried about quantity. I'm more like quality, and I do it as I go. I really do. I really say the biggest tip I can say is just to say yes and do it, even if you have no idea what the hell you're doing. I've said yes to so many things that have led to so many great things where I'm like, what the F am I even doing? Like, even when I was recording podcasts for people on like things I had no idea about, I would get off them and I'd tell my husband, like, I don't even know what just happened. I'm like, but I did it and it seemed to be okay. So, and that just comes from self-confidence and having a few techniques, even like self-confident techniques. I do a lot of breathing, self-talk, you know, like stay positive. And also knowing the worst case scenario is not that bad. That's been a huge thing. Like, just say I sounded like a complete idiot, right? And then what happens? Nothing.
The Marifa, you pay them back if you feel really that. They're like complaining.
But like, it's just the worst case scenario is not the worst case. Like, it's not my kids are all healthy. I'm safe. Maybe the client isn't as satisfied as they want, but you know, I didn't do it on purpose. I tried my best and I learned from it. So just saying yes and just going for it, even if you don't have the confidence, because then you put yourself in a position where you don't have time to think. They're like, okay, I want to do it. You're like, okay, now I need to just deliver it. You know, I close the gap between myself talking myself out of doing something. I just say yes, like if it's a good opportunity, right? If it's not going to waste my time, I will say no. And I'm also very strict and not, I mean, I could have made a lot more money in saying yes to a lot of smaller things, you know, but I say no to that because I really value my time and my worth now.
It's so funny when you say you're doing a podcast hosting, I'm just thinking of you talking about like some crazy medical technical thing, like interviewing, big words and like crazy things.
There was one I have to admit, I had no idea. And it was a shorter podcast because I had no questions because I really didn't understand anything he was saying. And actually they did choose someone else later on for the hosting. And I was like thinking, I kind of agree. I'm but I didn't get upset. I didn't. Like, I just, you know what? I said to myself, they're right. But maybe I wasn't the right person. Like, they need someone who is in the medical field and everything like that. But I gave it a go. So,
which is all you can do.
Yeah. And I delivered as best as I could. And no big deal if you kind of mess things up. I think people and women, especially, are so scared of what people think and messing up and failing, and then you don't go for it, and then you miss out on so many opportunities, really. Like, it's such a shame.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with money too, the same kind of mindset. Like, people are like, oh, so afraid to do this or that, but I'm always like, what is your real worst case scenario? Like, is it, first of all, is it going to really happen? And if it does, like, really think about it. Let's walk it back. Like, are you going to be on the street? Are you going to not have food for your kids? Like, there's so many, like, buffers and things you can put in place that even in like stop gaps that in a real worst case scenario, you're gonna figure it out somehow. It may not be your ideal situation and it may take time, but you will figure it out. And we create these like crazy things in our heads. And that's why we're never satisfied with the money we have or satisfied with how much we've accomplished.
And then because you pushed yourself so much, other stuff seems so easy. It just seems so much easier because you've really stretched your mind so much and you've done stuff that you thought you would never do, then everything else is like easy. Like, it really does feel easy. It's to do with like your neuro pathways, even like on a neuroscience level, like, you know, your brain and your reaction and everything is just strengthened.
Yeah, that's such a good point that I don't feel that we celebrate, especially as women, our successes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many little things we're like, oh, but like, so like, I feel like it's like this catch-22. We have imposter syndrome, but then when we do one small thing, we don't give ourselves the credit to be like, oh, wait, no, I did do that. And yeah, it may have been small, but who cares? I did that. And now I can do the next thing and the next thing. And then you build and build and build. It's so important. Yeah.
100%. And I actually was doing some coaching with someone the other day, and she was so, and I was really surprised. I know her personally, and I was really surprised of what I was hearing, that she really had nothing that she could be proud of. So, and she was really down and going for really bad jobs. So I did a exercise with her. I just told her to write down all her accomplishments that she's done in the last, you know, no, actually, I didn't even say in the last, like, whatever. I just said to write everything down that you've accomplished and things that you're good at. And she was, like, crying. It was really hard for her. But when she wrote it all down, I was like, look how amazing you are. But to her, she was like, so what if I did that? I'm like, I can't do that. Yeah. So actually, you're judging yourself. But if you look at this and someone else is looking at this, it's an amazing accomplishment. So it's a really good little exercise to do, to write down all your things. And you can even put a money, like, how much is that worth? You know,
oh, I love that. Yeah.
How much would someone pay to be coached on that?
You know, and I think it's societal too, because as women, we're like just expected to do all these things. So we do things. Like, I know even in the workforce, there's some things that my friends do as women that like men would totally get paid for. So I think it is somewhat cultural too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I did da 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 da. But like, oh, and it's also like, I don't want to like brag. I don't want to sound like, oh, look, who am I? Which I think is another thing that goes through our heads too. But no, it's like, be proud you did that. That's so good.
I mean, I think it's really common, even for me. Like, I even forget like what I've created, what I'm doing. I still don't even think it's such a big deal. But I think if we just stop for a second and like look back, I should do the exercise on myself, you know?
Yeah, no.
Because it's easier to say it because I'm so happy and confident. I don't do it, but you still need to give yourself like a pat on the back and say, wow, like, you know, hang on a second. We've done so much. So yeah, having yourself like, you know, being happy with what you've done and reminding yourself of that, of your worth, is really important.
Yeah, no, it's I think I love that. I think everyone listening should definitely go sit down, spend like maybe 10, 15 minutes a night. Like Nicole said, don't do the Netflix or the TV or whatever. Just spend 15 minutes and just write down, even if it's like, hey, I got the kids out the door today. I woke up early and packed all the lunches and did all this and I made it to work and I had a presentation, whatever you did, like that's not common, especially after COVID. We were stretched so thin. Like, we were amazing. No other generation dealt with what we dealt with.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And so I'm just like, about the Netflix, if someone's listening now and saying like, oh, I want to build my businesses, I don't have time, I really recommend writing down everything that you do every day, and you will find an extra like 2 hours of your day. And sometimes I think that people maybe don't want it enough to change. So you have to really know your why. Like, why do I want these businesses? What is my drive? You know, like, because to prioritize things that are kind of fun, like watching TV and going out all the time or sitting and doing nothing, to take that away from yourself, you have to have a really big purpose and a big why, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think why people struggle of saying no to the, like, I don't want the TV because I have so much shit to do that is so exciting. Me that the TV is the most boringest thing that I could think of. You know, even if it's just I would read a book instead of watching the TV, and at least I know that I'm learning something that can forward my business. But that is just because I'm really in touch with my why and my purpose and my mission. So that's how. It's not like it just comes naturally, like that I don't want to, you know, ask me this 15 years ago, I'd be like, I'm just going to sit and chill and watch TV, you know?
Yeah, no, I love it. You motivated yourself to do it. Which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you've been successful with it because you are so focused. And even though it's 4 businesses, I see how they all intertwine with each other. They're not these separate random things. They're things you're very passionate about. And you strategically summit funnels into coaching, podcasting, because you also have your podcast. And then the fit thing was something you were doing a while ago, but now it's evergreen. You don't have to touch it and it just rides.
Yeah. So. And I love fitness, and I'm always going to be an advocate for fitness. And when I was doing my network marketing, it was all fitness and health based. And it's something that I will always, like, you know, if I find an amazing product, I would always affiliate for it if I'm using it. So it's something still, like you said, really close to me in terms of my personality and what I want to share with people. Yeah.
So, well, Nicole, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. Before I let you go, though, I'd love to do our lightning round. This is where I ask my guests the same 4 questions each week. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
All right. Question number one is, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
I don't know if it's so fun, but I'm actually deaf in one ear.
Oh, wow.
Kind of interesting fact, maybe not so fun. Yeah. And that happened like suddenly. It's called like sudden deafness. So that's like an interesting fact that happened like four or 5 years ago. Yeah.
Was it, did like, is it a medical thing? Like, is it something that can be like changed back, or is it, wow.
woke up deaf. And it's super interesting because I really learned, it gave me another kind of perspective on gratitude and everything like that. So from that, I gained something as I lost something, I guess, which was just recognition of, you know, being grateful for my senses, being able to hear with at least one ear and having sight and just like saying, wow, like, you know, hang on a second, like, I'm really lucky that I still have one ear working.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Wow. And I love your mindset because a lot of people would not have taken that. They would have gone the other way.
Yeah. And I might have a hearing aid. I've just gone for a test to see if I can get a hearing aid. Because anyway, it's a long story. Maybe I need surgery, but whatever. So I'm going to have to rock like a hearing aid soon, I think.
Wow. Oh, so inspiring though, that mindset. Well, question number two is, who inspires you the most and why?
Who inspires me the most? Oh, it's so hard. You know, it sounds really weird. My daughter inspires me a lot. She's really interesting and she's really smart and she actually has the most amazing mindset and she teaches me a lot. And at the moment, for now at least, she's really inspiring me. Like, she's only 9, she's cooking, she wants to open a restaurant in every country. She is really just from another world. So right now she's actually really inspiring me.
That's awesome. I love that. When your kids inspire you, yeah, that's so cool. Well, question number three is, what books are you reading now or have read that you love and would recommend?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. I have so many books. Okay. The one is Joe Dispenza, and it's awesome. I love Joe Dispenza, and it's called Becoming Supernatural. Really, really, really interesting. But in terms of the money, We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers is good, but it's not my favorite money one. Here, this was a great one. Get Rich Lucky Bitch by Denise Duffield Thomas. And the first one that I read that really started to change everything was You're a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero. Sorry, I know you asked me for one, but like...
No, I love it.
They need to know this.
No. That book has been recommended a lot, actually, from Jen Sincero.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
Yeah. I know. I want to bring her on the podcast. If anyone out there has any connections, please let me know because I'd love to bring her on.
I've reached out to her so many times to be on my summit, by the way. I've yet to be successful. If I am, I'll pass the number on.
Oh, thank you. Well, the final question is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their own financial independence journey?
To have a set of really strong self-talk affirmations. Every day, like, self-talk to me was really important. I call myself a genius every day. I know that sounds really weird. And now my daughter starts calling herself a genius, but it has this energy for me. Like, find one word or one sentence that revs you up and is kind of, for me, like, funny, but I actually start to believe myself. So if you're feeling like you're not good with money, I could be like, I'm so amazing with money and know how to direct it well. Like, or I am, you know, I attract amazing friendships into my life. Or for me, I'm like, I'm a genius, you know, for me that. I know it sounds really weird and I'm not a genius, but
No, it is.
It helps me just activate my creativeness, you know? So yeah, so having like really powerful, fun affirmations. Oh, there's the best meditation by, I forgot it. I will send it to you after. It's something that I used to listen to every morning, Ken Long or something. And he has all these affirmations and some of them are really, really great. And I used to listen to it every morning and say it out loud. And my whole family thought I was insane. And yeah, so like, it's basically affirmations that you say out loud a lot.
I love it. Well, Nicole, this has been fabulous. How can my listeners connect with you further?
Yeah, you can jump onto my Instagram if I'm trying to get away from it, but I'm not. I'll never get away from it probably. So Nicole_fitandfab, or you can jump onto my website, nicolebrody.com, or just, yeah, WhatsApp me. I'm really big on WhatsApp. So on my Linktree, which is in the bio of my Instagram, you can just find my WhatsApp, or just, you'll find me. If you want to find me, you'll find me on, you know, nicolebrody.com. There's heaps of ways to contact me. So yeah.
And I'll put links to everything in the show notes as well. So thank you so much for coming on. This was such a great conversation and so inspirational.
Thanks so much, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Alrighty, that wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama podcast. Wasn't Nicole just great? She is such an inspiration in how she literally figured out a way to, she's like, first of all, she's just so disciplined. I don't know if you took that away, but she's really figured out a way to optimize her time. And it's really just by setting a goal, being focused, and just going hard at whatever it is and not letting distractions get in her way, which I know is so hard with social media all over the place. And we're always distracted every which way. But I hope you did get some takeaways and just heard her mindset because it was really incredible. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes to all of her content so you can follow her. She's phenomenal. But if you did like enjoy today's episode along with my other content, please subscribe on the platform you are listening to and leave a rating and written review. It helps the providers know you're finding value with my content. So definitely go do that and feel free to share on social media. And thank you so much for all of you who have been reaching out to me. I've been loving getting emails from you. Please, please let me know that what you think of the show. Ask questions, whatever. I want to hear from you. Sometimes I feel like I'm on a mic into the ether. So it's always so nice to hear from you. And yeah, just you can email me at Jen, J-E-N, at investormama.com. Again, that's Jen, J-E-N, at investormama.com. I really, really would love to hear from you. So this is Investor Mama. I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.